Good morning. I believe we have a motion before the cases are heard this morning.
Thank you, Judge Mayer. I'd like to now move the admission of Nathan J. Davis, who is a member of the bar in good standing of the highest court in Texas. I have knowledge of his credentials and am satisfied that he possesses the necessary qualifications. I'd just like to add on my own that I'm not really convinced that he's going to leave us. We're trying to hold on to him as long as we can, but that day will probably come soon. And I just want to say what a pleasure and a privilege it's been to work with Nate over the past year. And we've had the benefit of his principled view of the law and his principled view of the world. And Nate's seriousness of purpose is matched by a healthy dose of cynicism. And that combination has kept us all grounded over the past year. And when we let Nate leave, we'll miss him almost as much as we'll miss Allison, his wife, who's kept us fed over the past year and charmed our chambers with her talents. So I'd like to congratulate Nate on his admission and move his admission.
Absent dissent, the motion will be granted. Please face the clerk and raise your right hand.
Solemnly swear or affirm that you comport yourself as an attorney and counsel of this court, uprightly and according to law, and that you will support the Constitution of the United States of America.
I do.
Congratulations and welcome to the bar of the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit.
And I would like to also add the welcome and congratulations on behalf of my other colleagues, and we welcome you back to the court when you finally do leave, anytime you want to come for social events. Our first case this morning is In Re Applied Materials 091083. Mr. Tuckett.
Good morning. I represent Applied Materials Israel Limited in appeal number 2009-1083. We're on appeal from final rejection in the Patent Office affirmed by the Board of Appeals. And all dependent claims are rejected over a combination of Levy 203 and with Ikenaga and sequencing of oblique light, which is an IBM technical disclosure. Some dependent claims are rejected over further combination with Levy 455 for additional elements in dependent claims.
The problem you have here, it seems to me, which is something we see commonly, which is that the board is supposed to construe the claims in the broadest sense, and they've done that here in a way with which you disagree, but with which includes the prior art. So I think we need to be convinced why. I mean, the government's view is that the language doesn't require the pulse light to be used to create the image, and your view is different, but it's hard for me to see how the actual language of the claim doesn't comport with the board's broadest reading.
Yes, Your Honor, my point today will be to try to explain why the board's construction is overly broad, not the broadest reasonable construction, but the broadest unreasonable construction.
Okay.
And I will address the common error in the independent claims, so we will only be talking about Levy 1, Levy 203, not Levy 455, which is only used for additional features. And start the answer to your question. The independent claims recite that a pulsating light source illuminates an area of a semiconductor wafer. A CCD matrix acquires an image of the illuminated area of the semiconductor wafer. The board's construction is stating that there's no requirement that the area that's being imaged is actually illuminated by the pulse light source. And we believe that's an overly broad construction because the claim clearly says that the area that's being imaged is the area that's illuminated. This is in reference to claim 133, the representative claim.
But where does the claim require that the image be created by using the pulsed light? That's what I'm not seeing.
It defines an area as an area that's illuminated by pulse light, and then it says you image the area, the illuminated area. The board is arguing that you can turn off the pulse light, turn on some other light to take the image, and therefore the claim doesn't really even require there to be imaging of the area that's illuminated by pulse light. which was never an argument raised by the examiner. It was only raised by the board in the request, after request for reconsideration. The claim further says there's a processor for analyzing the images and detecting defects in the semiconductor wafer. Levy 203 combines a continuous light source with two diode lines that scan two separate images of two areas on the wafer. It also has a processor that compares the scanned images to find the defects. Two diodes on each side of the optics focus each of the images by seeing laser light that's pointed at periphery of the image. The laser light is not pointed at the line of diodes that's doing the line scanning. It's only on the periphery where it's not seen by the line scanners and therefore not imaged. It's only used for focusing only. It's like focusing a camera without taking a picture. Or focusing a pair of binoculars that doesn't even take a picture. No pulse light is received to form an image that is processed.
Before your time runs out, can I just turn you to the question of waiver, which is raised in the government's brief? The question of waiver?
Waiver of the supposed two basis for rejection?
Yes. My understanding is, and you addressed it in the gray brief, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what the government's point is, but as I understood the government's point, it's that the examiner's rejection was based on the fact that one skilled in the art would have known to go the extra step. Not that the references teach that, but that one skilled in the art would have known that.
The examiner...
And I don't see, at least certainly not in your blue brief, that you've raised that on appeal, that conclusion. In other words, even if we were to overturn what the board did, that you've made the basis for your appeal, we'd still have that basis for rejection that hasn't been challenged here.
Right. It was our position in the blue brief, and it remains our position. There's only one rejection on appeal, that the board, although they affirmed the examiner, they clearly changed the analysis.
Well, didn't they posture that as an alternative rather than displacement of the analysis of the examiner?
Well, we challenged the examiner on whether or not there was any support for his statement of obviousness, his motivation for obviousness, and he provided one reference to argue that there was support for that a pulse light would actually improve imaging of, using pulse light would actually improve imaging. That one reference was not made of record in the rejection, although it is in the file.
Counsel, let me try Judge Prost's question again because I want to make sure I understand your answer. If we construe the original board decision by Board Judge Dixon as affirming the examiner's rejection on the basis of Levy and Ikenaga and the IBM reference, and we construe that decision as also offering a second new additional reason for rejection. As I understand Judge Prost's question, she is expressing concern that in your blue brief, you are not addressing in particular the original basis of the examiner's rejection, namely Levy with Ikenaga and IBM, and therefore you have waived the appeal of that. So even if we were to agree with all the arguments in your blue brief vis-a-vis Levy, that you're still stuck with a rejection you did not properly appeal. So make sure I understand exactly your point as to how you did properly appeal that in your blue brief.
Yes, Your Honor. The original rejection was modified by the board, and we did address the reasons that the board modified it. They clearly replaced the additional reference that the examiner brought in with Levy, the pulse light in Levy.
Okay, counsel, why don't you turn to the board's original opinion? We won't even go to the rehearing opinion yet. At page 5 of the original opinion, in the back of your blue brief, it's at JA6, if that helps. And the second sentence from the top, it says, we agree with the examiner that in the combination of Levy with Ikenaga with the CCD camera, it would have been readily apparent to those skilled in the art, blah, blah, blah. Then it says, furthermore, we find pulse light source and it explains that, and which, you know, by the way, as a technical matter, I personally think that's kind of troubling, but it's not something that you seem to have appealed. But then the next word is additionally. We note that Levy at 203 teaches this by itself. Well, why is it that you think that since they say we agree with the examiner and they actually cite out the various references the examiner used, and then say additionally we think Levy also teaches it, so you don't even need those extra references. Why does that suddenly constrict into a single new rejection that isn't simply affirming the examiner? I agree with you. They've also rejected on the basis of Levy, but I'm having trouble with how they didn't,
yes, Your Honor,
you know, articulate two bases of rejection.
Yeah, we clearly challenged the examiner's rejection based upon a reference to support, and the paragraph you're citing to has the same language that there would be that the it would be generally obvious to use pulse light to prevent interference between images received by a camera using Japanese reference songs.
And your expert absolutely contradicted that in his declaration, as far as I can tell. The problem is I don't see any arguments to this effect in your blue brief.
That's because the board did not use, the board continues in the same paragraph to say they don't rely on that.
Where do they say they don't rely on that?
It follows over to the next page.
Okay, so tell me exactly
it
where.
It says, since the examiner has not relied upon this reference, we have not considered it our decision.
So where are you reading? I'm having trouble. Where are you?
It's JA0007 over to JA008.
No, that's the Japanese patent. That hasn't, the examiner did not rely upon. It's not Ikenaga.
They're not,
you see in the preceding sentence, they're talking about the Japanese patent, and then they said, but since the examiner has not relied upon this reference. So this, I mean, what you're pointing to is a full page and a half beyond the discussion I'm talking about of Levy and Ikenaga, and at the point you're pointing to, they're talking about something completely different.
It's the same paragraph, Your Honor, and it's
the same paragraph. No, sir. It's page 5 of the opinion. The top paragraph is what I'm talking about, and you're talking about page 6. Let's see, 5 paragraphs later. Page 6 spanning onto page 7.
Our position remains, Your Honor, that the board changed the decision. They've clearly said here, and looking at page 6 to page 7, that they, I mean, we challenged the examiner whether or not that interference with images was actually supported by any reference, and the examiner said he didn't have one yet, he would have found another one, but he did not make it part of the rejection. The board says he can't do that. He can't get another reference after, you know, for the final rejection and use that to support and not make it a new ground of rejection. So they threw out that rejection and used Levy's pulse light instead. So we do not see an affirmance of Levy's, of not using Levy's pulse light. You know, the board totally based their analysis on the pulse light in Levy. And then on reconsideration, when we pointed that out to them, they responded that the claim is too broad anyway. It doesn't require pulse light. They didn't go back and say, well, the examiner's original analysis is totally correct. We made a mistake basing it on Levy.
You're saying they didn't on rehearing? Okay, page 3 of their rehearing brief. We note, our decision at page 5 indicates we agree with the examiner's combination of Levy with Ikenaga and the use of pulse light or flash source as used with the camera would be desirable for still images. We additionally found Levy 203 uses modulated or pulse light. I don't see how these two opinions, either one of them, should be read as disagreeing with the examiner when in both instances they say we agree with the examiner's combination that renders this claim obvious. And they go on to articulate a second and discrete reason, but...
Yes, Your Honor, I believe what they're saying, though, is that they believe in the combination of references. They're not saying they really agree with the examiner's analysis. They expressly threw out the examiner's analysis of the motivation the examiner had and pretty much replaced it with Levy's pulse light and didn't even really discuss the IBM disclosure pulse light. They focused on Levy, which to us is prejudicial error because it now makes the... It now is an erroneous construction of Levy, which then is a falling in our claim scope.
Well, let's hear from the government now, and we'll give you for rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. McManus.
Thank you. May it please the Court. Let's start with what the Board did. The Board affirmed the examiner's rejection for the reasons expressed by the examiner and made these additional observations about Levy's pulse light.
Is that how you're reading the paragraph that Judge Moore pointed the appellant's counsel to?
Correct.
Is that what you're referring to?
Correct. If you look at, that's JA6, and actually starting slightly earlier on JA5, it says the examiner maintains, this is the last paragraph on JA5, the Board begins to recite the examiner's rejection. Combination of IBM with Levy using pulse light would prevent interferences between successive images. The Board, in the next sentence, says the use of a CCD camera would have been obvious. It then says, we agree with the examiner that once you take the CCD camera to capture the image and you put it into the detection system of Levy, it would have been readily apparent, quote, to those skilled in the art that discrete images of the sample would have been desirable. That's the prevent interference rationale of the examiner. And then they go on to make the additional observation of these kinds of cameras come with pulse lights to capture still images. And that's what the system's seeking to do with the CCD camera. It wants to take a still image of a moving semiconductor wafer. How do we get a still image of a moving object using a camera? We freeze it in time by flashing light on it. So there, the Board very clearly affirms not only the examiner's rejection, but for the reasons the examiner put forth. And confirmation of this comes on JA8 later in the opinion. First full paragraph.
Well, can I point you to page 8 of the blue brief, where in the summary of the argument, why isn't the first sentence in that summary sufficient to cover anything and everything?
Your Honor, that's a generic statement that, in essence, obviousness has not been shown. I mean, there's no...
But he's not just referring to Levy, he's referring to all of the references in combination, whether they show, suggest, or make obvious. I mean, isn't this a fair articulation of the examiner's conclusion?
It is, but then the brief does not offer any argument to demonstrate why. That's a conclusory sentence. It simply says the obviousness rejection is not right.
Well, but then it comes down to, you know, how we parse whether or not something's been waived. Is it because they didn't raise it in the brief? I mean, this is the lead sentence of a summary of the argument. It's hard for me to say that therefore it wasn't raised. No? I mean, they may not have put forth any detailed argument, but they certainly put this front and center in what they're arguing on appeal. No?
Two responses, Your Honor. Even if you say this raises the issue, nothing in the argument supports the notion that the examiner's rejection was improper. All the argument...
Well, counsel, aren't we supposed to go back and review the record for substantial evidence in light of the arguments put forth?
Right, and the arguments that are put forth here are all about Levy's teaching, the Board's additional observation of Levy's pulse laser.
Well, no, I think that you just acknowledged to Judge Prost, maybe I misunderstood you, but that even if this raises the argument, it doesn't put forth, even if this raises the issue, it doesn't put forth a lot of argument or something. Isn't that what I understood you to just tell Judge Prost?
There's more than just putting in a conclusory sentence to, quote, preserve the issue for appeal. You must support this. Even if you put in a conclusory sentence that says the 103 combination is not correct, you have to say why. And the why in this brief has nothing to do with the examiner's combination. All the why in this brief is about the Board's additional observations of Levy's pulsed light. I mean, I think we all acknowledge that they proceeded on the assumption that the Board's affirmance is all about Levy's pulsed light and his laser teachings. And while the Board did make observations and findings and conclusions based on Levy's light, it very clearly also affirmed the rationale and the rejection of the examiner. I mean, there's nothing in this blue brief that demonstrates error. Even if you were to agree with him on Levy's pulsed light, the examiner's rejection still stands because it does not turn on Levy's pulsed laser.
Yes, but the examiner's rejection, if we say he didn't waive it, then we can look to the substantial evidence of record to ascertain whether the Board's determination is supported. And there is an expert declaration in the record, which granted they don't reference in the blue brief, but it's part of the record, and we can review the record, can't we?
Well, you can certainly review the record. We submit to you there's no reason here to review the record for evidence supporting the examiner's rejection because it goes uncontested. That sentence there, other than blanketly implying that the combination of Levy, IBM, and Ikenaga alone or in combination does not teach the claim elements, is not a proper obviousness argument. You can't just come in and say, well, the obviousness rejection is wrong without doing any more.
Well, in your brief, though, when you raise the issue of waiver, mm-hmm. you characterize, you say, fatally before this court, Applied Materials alleges error only in the board's additional discussion. I mean, doesn't this sentence, at a minimum, allege error in terms of the examiner's articulation of the basis for obviousness?
Well, perhaps reading the next sentence demonstrates why our red brief is correct. The next sentence here says, the board errs. This is the actual allegation of error. The board errs in affirming the examiner's rejection by reading Levy 1 to inherently acquire an image of an area while illuminated by pulse light. The error alleged is completely based upon the Levy 1 laser observations by the board. That is the additional observation of the board. That has nothing to do with the examiner's rejection. I submit to you, Your Honor, that under this court's case law, you waive an issue, even if you blanketly say, I think it was wrong, if you don't argue about it. If he doesn't advance a reason to this court, one reason to this court why the examiner's rejection is wrong, he's waived that issue.
Under what case?
L.A. Trucker.
L.A. Trucker says...
Watts.
Pardon?
Watts, an issue not properly raised, and that is to say an argument, and the cases are escaping me right now.
Well, but what the sentence says under the heading of argument are that they don't, these references alone or in combination do not teach, show, suggest, or make obvious a system for finding defects. I mean, it may not have a lot of meat on it, but it's a statement that whose conclusion, which we, you know, if we agreed with, would end the case.
Well, I submit to Your Honor that sentence is not enough to preserve the issue, even if you say I then want to find he hasn't waived it, and you want to look at the examiner's rejection, leaving aside that he has given you nothing in his blue brief or his reply brief to tell you why he thinks the examiner's rejection is wrong. It's supported by substantial evidence, looking at the references and the examiner's observations in his final office action and particularly at his answer at 833, appendix of page 833 and 837. The examiner has clearly laid out why it would have been obvious to one skill in the art here.
Can I turn you to the Levy? Is it Levy or Levy?
Either or.
Levy. Everybody seems to agree that the pulsed light in Levy 1 was used for focusing and not for acquiring the image. And so I'm having a hard time how we make the leap from using pulse light for one purpose to using it for other purposes as well.
Well, the board, that dovetails into the claim construction, which
right.
is inherent in their allegation of error about Levy's laser, is the pulsed light has to be the one that's actually reflected off the area to be imaged and then captured by the CCD camera. The problem is the claim doesn't explicitly tie together those elements. To be sure, it includes a light element and it includes an imaging step, but there's no causal line drawn between the actual reflection of the pulsed light. Indeed, there's no element of reflected light in there. It just simply says I have to illuminate one area and then I need to image it.
But you have to image the at least one illuminated area. So isn't that suggesting with the, there's antecedent basis, so we know we're talking about the same thing, and it says it has to be illuminated when you're imaging it. So I'm a little concerned because what you're suggesting is that it could be a whole different light source, right?
Theoretically, and to be clear...
Does the specification give any basis at all for the notion that a second light source... in any of the embodiments or elsewhere could be what is used during the imaging process? I wasn't able to find it.
It does, Your Honor. For example, at JA 65, well, 64 to 65, the specification, starting at specification paragraph 202 and running through 206, describes what it calls an improvement in phase two examination, which, if you read the entire spec, the spec contemplates a detection system using two phases. The first phase is almost a triage type spot potential areas of defects, and then the phase two drills down and does a more specific discrete imaging of the potential defect area. And in this particular, quote, improvement of that examination system, it describes illuminating the wafer This is at the bottom of JA64. It says the wafer W is illuminated by an illumination unit 400. The next sentence says unit 400 is a standard unit based on a mercury lamp. And then later at 206, 205 runs through how the light bounces around to get to the image. And then 206 makes clear that the image converter that ultimately receives that reflected light is a CCD cap. So the problem here is the spec, to be sure, the spec contemplates that maybe at some level you might use the reflected laser light to capture, to generate your image and then capture it. The problem is the claim doesn't make that specific. At a minimum, this is a system claim. There's no requirement that the area, the quote, at least one illuminated area, actually be illuminated at the time the image is captured
by
the laser.
I'm just trying to understand what you pointed me to on 49 and 50. At 206, the image converter is a CCD camera.
Right.
But that doesn't indicate, does it, that the CCD camera is the illuminating source? Yes, well, the CCD camera is what captures the image.
Oh, that's correct. The illumination source is the mercury lamp. Unit 400 is a standard unit based on a mercury lamp. It consists of a 200-watt mercury lamp. That's the light source. As paragraph, the next paragraph makes clear that light is reflected off the wafer, runs through a series of lenses and beam splitters, and ultimately ends up at the image converter 309.
And you're saying illumination unit 400 is not the pulsating light source?
My understanding is that is a constant light source. The problem fundamentally is the claim that we have.
So is there any pulsating light source then in this particular embodiment that you're pointing me to?
Not that I can see, Your Honor.
So I guess I'm confused. You're pointing to an embodiment, and the way that you're reading it, this embodiment would not be covered by this claim, because this claim clearly, by your own admission, requires a pulsating light source, right?
Well, Your Honor, the claim recites a pulsating light source, but not... Well, two answers, Your Honor. Your question was, is there an embodiment in the spec that I saw that uses a constant light source to illuminate the area, and it's that constant light source that is both reflected and captured by the image capture device? And that, as my reading, that specification section does that. That does not mean that the claim requires or specific...
Is this specification section relevant to this claim?
Well,
is this describing an embodiment that could even arguably fall within this claim scope?
Arguably it could. The problem is the claim is so broad it can include other... The point is, Your Honor, this claim is extremely broad. As the court, as the board said...
Are there other claims that don't include a pulsating light source anywhere in this patent?
These are all system claims. And...
I'm just trying to figure out if your reading and the board's reading of this specification at all matches up with these claims.
Well, I think if we turn to the claim and look at what the claim says, it's...
Okay, let's do that. Let's turn to claim 133. A pulsating light source for illuminating at least one area. An optoelectric converter for acquiring at least one image of the at least one illuminated area.
Correct. There's no causal connection. This is what the board was saying. There is no linkage between the illumination using a pulsed light source and acquiring the image of that area. It could be that you are illuminating one portion of the area with your pulsed light.
It says the illuminated area.
Right,
so why isn't it using antecedent basis referring back to the area being illuminated by the pulsating light source?
It is, but it is not saying that when I actually acquire, because remember, we acquire an image by reflecting light off something. There, while it refers to the one illuminated area, it gives you the source or the item that you want imaged. It does not tell you how to image it. It simply refers you back to the substrate. It does not say, I generate the image of that substrate using reflected pulsed light. And that is what their reading of this claim would require. And that is why the board's broadest construction is the reasonable
one. So help me out here. How would you have amended the claim if you were the appellant? Would you take the first portion and say a pulsating light source for illuminating the entire area being imaged?
I think there are probably multiple ways you could do it. One way, for example, you could do it, you wouldn't even have to necessarily modify the first element. But in the third, the acquiring, and this is what the board said, the problem is the acquiring step isn't defined. So if you want to specifically say that my image capture device acquires an image from reflected pulsed light, you would insert that limitation in there to make it explicit. They say it's not necessary. They haven't said that they would or could be able to do that. But that is fundamentally the defect in this claim and why the board's construction is correct.
So suppose I disagree with you. Suppose I agree with appellant that the board's construction is overly broad, not broadest reasonable construction.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? Does your waiver argument still stand somehow, or since this is claim construction, and you know, I think earlier in this argument you acknowledged that they are raising and have raised this claim construction issue.
They definitely raised the claim
construction. So, waiver then, if I find ultimately that the claim construction that the board has adopted is improper, which is a matter of law for us, then are you agreeing it's not waived then?
I'm about to run out of my time, but I'll respond to your question. Twofold, Your Honor. If you were to find that the claim construction that the board used to respond to their argument about why their reading of Levy's laser is incorrect, that doesn't render fatal the examiner's rejection that was explicitly affirmed and goes, in our view, uncontested because they have not advanced a reason, an argument, why the examiner's combination of Levy...
Counsel, the claim construction argument would apply equally to both. There's no basis for distinguishing it based on the IBM disclosure.
Well, there is, Your Honor, because that claim construction is entirely tied in with their argument about why the additional observation of by the board of Levy's pulse laser doesn't render the claim obvious. The examiner's rejection does not rely upon Levy's pulse laser at all. The examiner's rejection is all about, if I start with Levy's detection system, and nobody seems to have a problem with that, and I put in the CCD matrix, which again, nobody seems to have a problem with that, their own specification says that these kind of detection systems, we're all using CCD matrices. The only element that we don't have is pulse laser. So even under their construction, where your pulse light is the actual light that's being reflected and imaged by your image capture device, that was taught by IBM. The board agreed with that and gave you additional reasons, including the fact that sort of everybody in the art understood that the minute you moved to an image capture device that was a CCD matrix, as opposed to the line scan device of Levy, you would have migrated from a constant light source to a pulse light source, because that's how they work.
All right. Thank you.
Addressing the solicitor's last point, Your Honor, he stated that as soon as you move from a CCD, from a line scanner to a CCD matrix, you would then switch to a pulse light. Ikanagawa is a CCD matrix and uses a constant light. So that is not a correct statement. It's not based on the record. Also, getting back to the question of waiver, in our page 10 of the blue brief, in our statement of the argument, we also say the examiner and the board erred in rejecting all independent claims under 103 because no cited reference teaches or suggests acquiring an image of an area of a semiconductor wafer illuminated by pulse light. Ikanagawa doesn't do it. Doesn't even have a pulse light. Levy's pulse light is only the focusing system. And in IBM, they do use a rotating sequence of lamps, but it's a visual eyeball inspection. There's no image acquisition device. So no reference actually used pulse light to analyze, compare and analyze images. And that's why the board switched to the focusing light in Levy, but they switched in error. Their original position was that the line scanners and Levy actually receive some of that pulse light. When we clarified that on reconsideration, they just responded the claim is too broad. And so we believe that all rejections are in error and that they should be reversed by the board. The board's rejections should be reversed and that there is no waiver of any argument by the examiner. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Case is submitted.